Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
This segment is brought to you by North Shore University Health Systems. Dan Bernstein with you on Sports Radio 670 The Score. And we had been looking forward to a conversation with Eugene Friedman that we may have to reschedule for a bit later on. Getting a little bit of NBA news here. Just got word that Jerry Sloan, the former Chicago Bulls great and Utah Jazz coach, has passed away due to complications from Parkinson's disease and Lewy body dementia at the age of 78. And that's sad because Jerry Sloan, from my time covering him as a coach, he was always as straight a shooter as I've ever been around, figuratively, that he was always available, always unpretentious, on the list of somebody who was just a real dude. And from all the time that I spent around Norm Van Leer as a coworker, when Norm would talk about Jerry Sloan, they were sort of an unlikely backcourt odd couple with some very, very different personalities, but a genuine tough guy. And when he would wear that John Deere hat, it wasn't some sort of populist pretense. It's because that would be a guy who would be in the back 40 on a tractor in a happy place there. He was a tremendous basketball player. And I can also say that I was, as a fan, I was 9 years old, I believe, when I got to be at Chicago Stadium on the night he was honored, Jerry Sloan night, when they retired his number and brought it up to the rafters, or as Danny Parkins would say, the Raptors. Jerry Sloan was as tough a basketball player, at least when Norm Van Leer describes your toughness, when Norm Van Leer describes you as a teammate, the way he talked about Jerry Sloan, that was a pretty special player and somebody who's remembered from what was some very fun times of Bulls basketball that got short shrift, by the way, from Jason Hayer in The Last Dance, when they used Tom Boerwinkle as an example of like the lean times or what the bad times for the Bulls brand. Tom Boerwinkle was a hell of a basketball player too, and didn't deserve to be treated in that regard. For those of us who remember how, I think a guy had 37 rebounds in a game at one point. And you got to see a little of Jerry Sloan in The Last Dance, but it's too bad. A really good guy, a really tough guy, a terrific basketball player, and a terrific coach who brought in, and actually Jerry Sloan should be remembered by Bulls fans as the guy who used principles from Dick Motta and from those great Bulls teams during the 70s and applied them to John Stockton and Karl Malone and a lot of the sets that they ran and got them to much higher heights. We get a chance now to talk to an experienced labor lawyer and find out exactly why some of the reporting about baseball right now is missing the mark. Eugene Friedman joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Hello, Eugene. How are you?
Good. Good morning.
Good morning. I was very intrigued by a Twitter thread that I saw Craig Calcaterra of NBC Sports. He retweeted it. I saw it, and I went back and did a, sort of a deep dive on some of what you were writing. I guess I didn't really think about it until you put it this way. For when guys like Bob Nightingale, Joel Sherman, if we're naming names, national baseball writers say, hey, players, owners, just get this done. Why is that more loaded of a sentiment than it seems?
Well, you know, the hardest part about collective bargaining, about negotiating a term agreement, and a lot of these national writers are now saying, oh, don't just get a deal, you know, in the next couple weeks on health and safety, but get a deal on finances, revamping the entire pay structure of Major League Baseball, because, you know, it's for the good of the game. That's really the message that they're putting out. And, you know, I've viewed it as they're putting out a message on behalf of the owners. And the reason for that, that's impossible to get a deal over the entirety of a pay system, is that that's something that takes a lot of work, a lot of internal difficult discussions within each team, and by team in this case I mean contract team. So the players will have a team that goes to the table for them, and management will have a team that goes to the table for them. You can't revamp an entire pay structure that's been in place for decades in the course of 2 or 3 weeks. It would take probably 2 or 3 months just for the players and the their team to have an understanding of what management wants to do in this circumstance. And then it'll take them some time to come up with counterproposals. And just historically, this idea of a 50-50 revenue sharing system, similar to what's in the collective bargaining agreements in the NBA and NFL, are things that Major League Baseball management has proposed to the players for decades and have been rejected. So they're really using this crisis to try to push a long-term agenda that they have been unsuccessful achieving in good times. And they're trying to use basically what's considered shock doctrine to force an issue during a crisis and achieve a goal that is otherwise unachievable.
It sounds to me then like the only way that we're going to get whatever they envision a salvaged 2020 season to look like, if this is going to happen and the optimism is going to be merited, is if the players tell the owners straight up before they even sit down at the table that we are only talking about a temporary agreement to return, table everything regarding any larger idea of trying to cement in a different business model. Is that the message that you would be sending right now if you were representing the players, this idea of whatever grand ideas you might have to try to take advantage of us not happening? If you want baseball back now, this is purely a temporary negotiation for what we are doing right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Tony Clark has, to the limited degree that he has made public statements, has made that message pretty clear that they did agree to something back in late March. And that was a prorated salary payment for however many games are played. Now, I know that there's a disagreement as to what the agreement actually meant. Or maybe it's a false disagreement. The players believe that they've already agreed what salaries will look like for this short season, partial season, whatever you want to call it. And I think they have a good argument that it is agreed to. Now, they may have granted the owners, or management in this case, the opportunity to not play a season at all if it's not financially feasible. That's different than saying, well, if the owners decide that they don't like the agreement because they don't like the financial terms of what they've already agreed to, that they can reopen it. Under labor law, it's considered wages or pay, in this case, is a mandatory subject to bargaining. And once the parties have agreed on a mandatory subject to bargaining, it takes mutual consent to reopen that. And the players are basically saying, we've agreed to this. We're not going to reopen it. We will discuss health and welfare. We'll discuss scheduling. We'll discuss all of these other terms and conditions of employment. But we're not going to discuss pay because we've already agreed on it. And it's kind of interesting that lawyers who have an attorney-client privilege and attorney-client confidentiality somehow leaked an internal document to Joel Sherman that was supposedly a smoking gun, saying, when we talked to the players' representatives, we agreed that we would revisit this issue. That just really screams of two things. One is that Joel Sherman is just a leak machine from Major League Baseball's offices. They just give him talking points and he puts them out there. And two, that the management side is operating in bad faith. Why would they put this out if not to try to undermine the relationship with the players themselves? They have to reach an agreement with the players. They have to work with them. They're employees of these organizations. It's a multi-employer arrangement, basically, because each club has its own employees. But, you know, they have to work together, and they're basically saying, we want a fight. And that's not a way to get an agreement.
Lastly, and we've got about a minute here, as we're talking with Eugene Friedman, experienced labor lawyer who works as a consultant with Baseball Prospectus on some of this stuff as well. Deals are done at deadlines. When would we need something concrete to understand when an actual 11th hour would be? Like, as you see this timetable shaping up and we start looking at a calendar, and the days tick by, we should know at some point relatively soon what their deadline is, no?
Well, I think that that's a little bit proprietary to Major League Baseball. I mean, they probably know what their drop-dead timeline is for salvaging a reasonable season, whatever that may look like. And, I think the players have an idea themselves, but the players are taking the position right now, and I think rightfully so, that they're not really looking at a timeline until they can be assured that their members' health and safety is protected. And I think that that's the right position to take because, you know, they're not essential workers. They're not people who are protecting the public interest. They're not firefighters, EMTs, air traffic controllers, other people who have to go to work in these circumstances in order for the country to run and in order to protect safety and health of the public. They are, in this case, entertainers. It's probably the least essential business. And so they're saying, until you can make it clear to our satisfaction that our members are protected, we may not want to come back to work. So I don't think they have the same deadline, and that may be an issue to this where the parties don't have an agreed set of principles or interests in this negotiation.
Eugene, appreciate it very much. It's all very solid information. It's complicated stuff that I know fans are just, they want their baseball back, but these are certainly unique circumstances we've never seen before. So thanks for helping us sort it all out.
Thank you. And, you know, I want baseball back too. I'm a huge fan.
Eugene Friedman, our guest on Sports Radio 670 WSCR, The Score. We've got potential new NFL rules coming. There are proposals out there that are being voted on that are kind of cool. So Eric Edholm, NFL draft columnist for Yahoo and NFL writer for Yahoo, is going to join us next to go over some of these things. And we'll look for unintended consequences, intended consequences, and see how football can change when it comes back. He joins us next on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.